Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun. If you're used to listening to this podcast, you know that I cover all the shows and entertainment on the Strip every week, every Wednesday with this podcast. Obviously, we're going to do something a little bit different. As you know, the Strip is shut down due to the pandemic, and Las Vegas is facing its greatest challenge ever. For all news on what's going on in Vegas today, go to LasVegasSun.com. Me, I'm going to keep soldiering on with this podcast, and I'm going to try to bring you two interviews a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, just checking in with people that make the Las Vegas entertainment scene so spectacular. See how they're doing, and talk about their lives, talk about their shows, talk about their careers. Just try to bring you a little dose of Las Vegas a couple of times a week. I hope you will follow along with me. You can find this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts or at Apple Podcasts. Today is Tuesday, and yesterday I had the chance to get on the phone with Shania Twain, one of the many headliners who had to cancel her performances on the Strip this week. She has a residency called Let's Go at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. It just opened a few short months ago. Of course, this is Shania's second go-around in Las Vegas. Super grateful to get the chance to talk to Shania again. And here's the conversation.
I was excited to get the chance to do this again because the first time that we spoke last year, it was obvious that you love Las Vegas so much and you're so connected to Las Vegas in ways that a lot of other headliners are not. And you were the first person I thought of who I'd want to do one of these interviews with right now. So I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Where are you held up, if I could ask?
Well, I'm still in Las Vegas because just a week ago I was performing what would be my last show of the run without me realizing it. I was two shows into it and then everything shut down. So I am still here just reorganizing the unexpected, you know, what was an unexpected stop, you know, halt. Mm-hmm. And reorganizing, basically getting home, which Switzerland is my home, you know, so I'm here just getting reorganized on how to do that. I've got dogs and horses, and so it's mm-hmm. a lot to wrap up. In a way, I'm at peace with the isolation, and I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling quite good in this isolation and just very creative.
Yeah, I think that's been happening for a lot of artists of different genres. And I know you posted a quick musical thank you to healthcare workers on Instagram a few days ago. Do you think do you have any plans to do any other kind of stuff like that online just to stay connected to your fans or to have that?
Oh, definitely. I've got, you know, tons of little things. I mean, that was just a very spontaneous thing. I'm spending so much time on the microphone and recording and writing, so I was already in the mode, and I just, that just came out, and I just said, well, while I'm thinking it, I'm going to share it. And so it was just a genuine, spontaneous thing, and yeah, there'll be more of that for sure.
Well, I think if you do more of that, you should definitely keep the dog in the video, because that is just a reassuring presence.
Oh, my little Mellow. Well, the thing is that, you know, her shows got canceled too because she was,
that's
you
right.
know, she was in my show. So, yeah, no, I mean, she goes everywhere with us and she is, you're right, she is a very comforting and reassuring soul. And I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I have a dog also, and she's not so reassuring. She's kind of an anxious little creature, so we've been using her as kind of our stress barometer. If we get too worked up, then she starts getting upset, and then we know that we need to find some calm because we don't want her to freak out too much.
That is amazing. Well, that's what horses do as well. I have horses and horses. If you get stressed or anxious or you start rushing around, they get, you know, fidgety and nervous, and it can be dangerous. So that is my stress gauge.
Let's talk about your show a little bit, because I was at opening night back in December, and I thought that it didn't really feel like a first show. It had like all the buzz and excitement of an opening night in Las Vegas, but it also felt like you were very comfortable and had almost already hit your stride on that stage and with all this new production stuff. How did it feel for you?
I felt great. I had a sore foot. And that's the irony of that is I was kicking a couple of days before. I was kicking the ball for Mello, and I just hit the ball wrong with my foot, and it got all swollen up. So I couldn't put much pressure on it at all. So I was doing a more. I was running. I wasn't running around the stage much at all on that first night, and even the second night, but. It didn't seem to matter. It was like this, it was such a, I was already so at home in the room and at home with the show that I just took it all in stride, and we carried on with some great music, and the fans were in a real celebratory spirit. And I think feeling the tension of, even though none of us could have anticipated what was to come, I think everybody was feeling that something was bad, was really bigger, was pending out of this, and making the most of the moment.
Your new residency is really a lot like where, it's really where all these Las Vegas residencies are kind of headed. They're all about like taking care of fans, and the whole show feels like they're, you know, like you're doing this special Vegas thing just for your fans. And I think that they appreciate that too. Does that kind of attitude of building things for fans come into play for you when you're putting things together?
Absolutely. The one thing about Las Vegas, well, when you're doing a residency, you know, something that is not your touring show, I'm customizing the show very specifically for the unique audience that is here, because it's a completely different audience, personality than if you're on tour. Because when you're on tour, you're going to their hometown, and most people there are locals or driving from fairly, close proximity areas. Whereas in Vegas, these are people that are mixed with locals at your show, but from a lot of them from all over the world, and they're all there for various reasons. So it's a unique combination of fans, and my role is to create a show that brings everybody into one focus, and that is to reminisce on the music that they all know and grew up with, and to forget about the conference that they're there for, whatever it is, and just get lost in the moment and celebrate. And, you know, the song, the funny thing is that the song, my song list is so varied. Sometimes it's a challenge to get the flow right. So that's very important, because I do have a lot of romantic couples in my audience. So I've got to make sure that, you know, I'm going from the party mode, which we're all in, you know, we're all in during the show. But so many people come to Vegas or did come to Vegas to get married to my music, and they're there to celebrate an anniversary or to get married. So Vegas is also known for that. And so I put that in my show as well. So there's just so much variety. I really enjoy doing the Vegas show. That's probably my favorite type of show to put together.
It's funny that you mentioned that about couples, because I just, right before we got on the line, I jumped on social media to get some, see if anybody wanted to suggest questions I should ask you. And my sister got on there and she was like, tell her that your older brother danced to Still the One at his wedding. And I totally forgot that that happened.
Well, you know what is so cool? This is it's only hitting me now, because, you know, it took all this time to get there. But a lot of the couples that were married to my song, you know, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, now have 20-year and 25-year-old kids that grew up to my music. So the people in the 20s are coming, those kids are all grown up now, they're coming to party in, you know, in groups as, you know, just to party and celebrate, you know, Man, I Feel Like a Woman or Honey, I'm Home or, you know, all the fun stuff. And their parents are coming, their parents' generation are coming to celebrate getting married and then subsequently having these children. It's really cool. I'm loving this whole, reunion vibe that I'm feeling at my shows. It's just so real. I couldn't have written it. I could have scripted it better for my own satisfaction of what I'm getting back from the audience.
Last time we talked, you also mentioned that you have been and continue to work on some new music, and that you'll be inserting songs, different stuff into the show as the years, as the months and the years go on. I guess you've got a lot of extra time to do that. How's that going? I mean, I'm sure right now you haven't really got to that point where you're having some nice quiet time to write and record and stuff like that, but is that something that's on your mind a lot?
Well, I've been isolated for days, so it's the opposite. I mean, all you have to do is isolate me for 2 days and I'm creative. Like, I'm like a real, I'm a busybody person and I'm a very productive person. So I'm creating constantly. I can't get on the microphone enough. So I'm enjoying a lot of writing and a lot of singing. And I mean, my whole day is evolving. It's only concentrated on husband, home, son, horses, and dogs. Oh yeah, and laundry and cooking. And so I actually have a lot of time to write music.
Is this very unique isolation pushing you in any specific direction in terms of the kinds of music that's popping up in your head?
Definitely. I'm definitely influenced. This whole time in history is changing my perspective on so many things. So it's naturally affecting my writing. I'm going through, like everybody is, a roller coaster of emotions and thoughts and reflection. And that is reflecting in my lyrics for sure, the mood and the spirit of all of that, gratitude and for a lot of things. Just the whole feeling of being distanced from so much and so many, but yet feeling closer to things and others more than ever before. I mean, strangers, I feel closer to strangers. I feel more connected to everybody.
Well, I'm sure you can't wait to get back on stage and be able to reconnect with your fans and audience in Las Vegas particularly. And we can't wait for that to happen either. Is there anything specific that you'd like to say to your fans who were and are still planning to see you in Las Vegas soon?
Definitely. First of all, I want to say to everybody, stay safe and hopeful. And, of course, stay home as much as you can. And this will pass, and when it does, we will all reunite and gather over celebrating the end of this and celebrating what's to come and just enjoying the reunion of being able to be together again and all in one room. I think we've taken it for granted. So get ready. We are going to celebrate like never before, just togetherness.
Thanks for listening to this first special episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'll be back in a couple of days with something new for you. Again, you're going to want to go to LasVegasSun.com to stay up to date on everything that's happening in Las Vegas these days. Did you know that you can subscribe to Las Vegas Weekly Magazine and have it mailed to your home every week in a nice little plastic bag to keep you safe? Yes, it's true. Go check out that opportunity at LasVegasWeekly.com. Also, you're going to want to head over to YouTube and subscribe to the Las Vegas Magazine YouTube channel. That's the place where you can find the brand new video series, Vegas at Home. The first episode is a little magic from Jen Kramer, Westgate headliner. That's a really special series that we're really excited about. We're just going to bring you more Vegas, keep the Vegas coming. So go check that out, Las Vegas Magazine's YouTube channel. Thanks again. Stay home. Stay safe.